Welcome to today's Microsoft Virtual Academy session. My name is Curtis. My good friend Chris and I are going to talk about Office 365 troubleshooting. This is the first of two modules for this course. And the first one's going to be about troubleshooting in general, about the service. And then the second one will be about tips and tools. And we're going to get into a more detailed agenda in a second. First, let's introduce ourselves. Again, my name is Curtis Saun. I am a technology solutions professional for our productivity solutions. And I'm out of the New York Metro District. I've been with Microsoft about 7 years, a lot of it in our consulting org, and then I've moved to our enterprise and partner group. And I specialize not in just Office 365, but mainly in where the desktop or the infrastructure or the client meets cloud services. So I've got a major focus in Office 365 Pro Plus, deployment, compatibility, and how it integrates with our cloud services. And I'll just hand it over to Chris.
Hey, I'm Chris Oakman with Eastridge out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Eastridge is a member of the Partner Advisory Council for Office 365. We have over 19 years in IT focused on SMB. We are primarily focused on cloud, public cloud, and Office 365. We're a Microsoft Cloud Champion Club member. Three Microsoft Gold competencies, three Silver competencies, 200 plus active customers leveraging Microsoft's cloud. We have four practices at Eastridge. We have SMB practice, Enterprise SharePoint practice, CRM practice, and Advanced Infrastructure practice. And my contact info is below.
You know, it's interesting when you said, you know, you've been doing cloud solutions for what you said, 19 years?
Yeah, sure.
It kind of represents what I see as like our different skill sets, right? We have sometimes a different circle of knowledge. Sometimes they overlap.
Right.
But it's almost like two different ways that we've each gotten into cloud services.
Right.
And that kind of represents what we see with a lot of our customers today is you've been involved in cloud services a lot longer than I have. I've been involved in desktop infrastructure management. And a few years ago, I had this epiphany that cloud services is, you know, where things are going.
Right.
And I wanted to get more in there. And Office 365 Pro Plus is a space where I sit and where there's sometimes some confusion because that is where client and desktop meets cloud services.
Right.
Where a lot of customers traditionally get into cloud services starting with email in the cloud.
Right.
And so when we talk about, and what you'll see today, when we talk about stuff like Mailflow, Chris will be doing the talking. We talk about maybe client stuff, I'll probably be doing some of the talking.
Sure.
But it's a great representation, our various skill sets about how cloud services and how people can get into it.
Right.
Kind of neat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So today, let's talk about our course topics. This course is troubleshooting Office 365. Module one, we're going to talk about troubleshooting the service, Office 365 service, how to get access to it, how to see when there's issues. And then module two, we'll talk about troubleshooting tools and tips. Okay. Our target audience today is Office 365 admin, tasked with managing Office 365. Or a Microsoft partner that's tasked with maintaining customer tenants. We have a couple suggested prerequisite supporting material. There's a few good MVAs out there administrating Office 365 for small business. You might see a familiar face in that one.
Yeah, who did that administering Office 365 for small business?
Can't remember who did that one.
So. Probably someone really handsome.
Yeah. There you go. And a great Microsoft press book, Office 365 Administration Inside and Out. So that's a really good book if you're just getting into administrating Office 365. This course is tailored for the IT professional that needs to get up to speed fast on Office 365 troubleshooting. We're going to provide some real-world tips and tricks. Again, fast-paced for the busy IT professional. And we've got some great demos lined up for you guys that can be reviewed from the recording that should be really good.
Yeah, this will be kind of cool because the PowerPoint can be downloaded and you can use it as reference material.
Yep.
And we're going to do a lot of great demos. So it's not just us yapping a lot of the time. We'll actually be showing stuff.
Right.
But you can download the content later if you want to review it. So that's why the fast pace kind of works because you get to see, you know, some of the discussion and the interaction, and you also get reference material.
Great. Just a kind of a plug for Microsoft Virtual Academy, free online learning tailored for IT pros and developers. There's over a million registered users, up-to-date, relevant training on a variety of Microsoft products. And of course, you can earn while you learn. Every MVA you sit through, you earn points. So.
You know, that up-to-date relevant training has been such a challenge in the past few years because cloud services, we have the ability to innovate a lot quicker,
right,
which is a huge benefit to end users, IT pros. It's a huge challenge for content providers,
right,
because you're always got to keep up. And our MVAs, the Microsoft Virtual Academy sessions, is a way that we're rapidly providing new and relevant content. So go to the MBA site, MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. You're going to see new stuff nearly every day.
Great. All right, so let's jump right in. Module one, troubleshooting the Office 365 service. And module overview.
Is this me?
I think
All
that's
right,
you.
Cool. So today we're going to be talking first about service availability and the Office service in general, then some specific licensing issues. And that really, from a troubleshooting perspective, that's almost like the easy answer, right?
Right?
If you're not licensed, you can't use the stuff. But how that may manifest itself can sometimes be challenging. And then we'll talk about DNS as it affects Office 365 as well.
Great.
All right, what's next? So, service availability.
Yep.
This is basically, you know, does the Office 365 service, is it performant? Is it, is it available?
Right.
Can I get to my stuff? And that's really what Office 365 is about, is making sure you can get your stuff wherever you are.
Right.
Your email. Who cares if it's sitting on a server under your desk or if it's sitting in a data center a couple hundred or a couple thousand miles away? The concern is, can I get to it?
Right.
Can I get my stuff? Same thing with documents.
Yep.
Same being productive. Can I be able to use Office wherever I am? So we take huge, it's hugely important that we make service availability a top priority to make sure that people will want to consume Office 365 services. And if it's not performant, if they can't get to it, they're not going to do it.
Right.
So it's really important. All right, so the first place to check for service availability is in the Office 365 dashboard. And as soon as you sign in to the dashboard, if you're an admin, a global
right.
administrator, you're going to see the admin dashboard, and you're going to see a status of, well, here's the current health based on, you know, on the different services that we provide. There's a couple different ways to check it, and we're going to demo some of those today.
Yep.
The easiest one is log into the dashboard, and you'll see the service health. There's also an admin app. You can see that on mobile devices or tablets. You can use, and this was recently released, I think this summer, there's a management pack for Office 360, for System Center.
Yes.
Excuse me, it's the Management System Center Operations Manager Management Pack for Office 365.
There you go.
It's a piece of cake to say.
Yeah.
And that allows you to use, if you have an existing System Center environment, you can just snap in the management pack to start monitoring service
right.
health with Office 365. And then also released recently was the Service Communications API, so then you can build your own
right.
Tool, product, take action based on different service health statuses. So the information about what you're going to see depends on what, I guess, Office 365 subscription you own.
Right.
You probably won't see or care about, I'll say, Power BI if you don't have the Power BI service.
Right.
And the good news is this can save you a lot of troubleshooting time. Because when people call the help desk and say, hey, my system is slow. First of all, it's like, what does that mean?
Right.
And that can mean a bunch of different things. And so the service health dashboard is a great way to determine, hey, is there anything going on in Office 365 that I may not immediately know about that I can get more information on so I can better communicate to my users?
Right. Right, and it's not just your tenant that you may see as well. So you want to make sure that if you're managing Office 365 for other customers, that you want to check their tenant. You may log into your tenant and everything looks fine, but your customer's tenant may actually be in a different data center and have different errors.
Right, and that's important. So from a availability standpoint, especially as a partner, like you said, you may be managing 1, 2, 5, 10, 20
right.
different tenants. And so that's very important from service health perspective to determine, hey, is it affecting me or my customer?
Right.
All right, so great. We can stop yapping. Let's start doing a little demo here. So I am going to go to just open up a browser. There's a couple ways you can get to the admin dashboard. Where I like to go is just office.com, and that's where we're here now, only because it's the least amount of typing.
Sure.
We could go to portal.microsoftonline.com.
Yep. Login on Microsoft.
Right, there you go. But all I'd have to do is just go to office.com, select sign in, and I will provide my credential. Whoops, I will type correctly.
Yeah, hopefully our keyboards work today.
Yeah, right. And all right, so I'll put in my super secret password. Circle, 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 circle. All right, and this is the Office 365 home screen. I could customize this to bring me to a different screen if I'd like, but I'm going to go select admin because I am an administrator of this environment. And the first thing I see is basically my admin dashboard, and I can see the service health.
Wow, it looks just like the screenshot in the previous slide today.
That's really odd, interesting.
Yes,
it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the great thing about doing demos on a service that runs in the cloud is you never know what it's going to be because it's until you get there, because that's what the service is today. The good news is we got something to talk about.
That's right.
So the first thing you see is the current health, right? And what you want to see is a lot of greens. That means things are good. Yellows means is as we're seeing some service degraded. So what we can do is we can take a look at a specific item and say, well, let me see more about what Exchange service degraded means. So I'll click on it and say, hey, we've an intermittent error affecting access to OWA, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. My words, I'm paraphrasing.
Yep.
And if that's not good enough, you could view the details of it and get a lot more information. So this is great because this is part of our goal as a service provider to be as transparent as possible. So that's why a lot of this is said customers may experience intermittent failure.
Right.
Right. So it's not 100% positive that you're going to have a problem. Because as a service, it's, you know, we service millions of customers. And so we want to make sure that we're as open and as transparent as possible when we're providing status about a service to make sure that you can trust that we're communicating appropriately.
Right.
So what may happen, and I've gotten this before from some customers and partners, is, well, I see it says there's a service degradation, but I'm not seeing any problem.
Right.
So what the heck, Microsoft? You're giving me it's a false positive. And that can be true in specific instances. However, the service in general is degraded. And performance is very subjective.
Right.
So our goal is to over-communicate, again, to be transparent, because the opposite of that is to not provide information when there is a problem because it probably doesn't affect too many people. But if it affects someone and it's not listed here, then that erodes trust.
Right.
Right. That's very corrosive to, well, can I trust that Microsoft is providing a reliable service to me?
Right. Right. And you can see at the bottom of that notice that they will be providing another update at 9 p.m. UTC time. So,
yeah.
So, you know, they keep this update even though it's there. They tell you when the next update's going to be published, unless something happens in between those times. And
right.
They'll update as fast as they can.
What's also cool is it says, hey, you may be getting this error message in OWA. So it's great if someone's calling you, if you're a help desk, you're getting support calls from your end users. If they see this, you can say, oh, I know what's going on. I can provide information about it. And then when the next time, we'll have some more information.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. So this shows me my current health. And oh, I go back. This is what I was going to click on next. Now I can see health for a period of time. And again, what you want to see is a lot of green.
Right.
Because all the green checkboxes mean things are good. And so we can see pretty much the services have been good. We have some informational. We can click here to get more information about certain features. If I want, I can see the history for the past 30 days. And now this will show me all the history of SharePoint Online, all the different services, the portal, Identity, Exchange Online. We can find out a bunch of different, lot more detail about specific tasks. And so if I need to contact Microsoft to get more information, I've got an incident ID now that I can reference and say, hey, listen, I need more information about this.
Right.
Because I'm not satisfied with what was happening. I had a different symptom, or my end users were complaining about something else, and that may be related or it may not be. But having this, the incident ID will help you work with our support area to get a better feel for, hey, what was going on.
Great.
So yes, did I show view history for the last 30 days? Oh yeah, we just did that. Okay, cool. So this is the basic way to get service health. You log into the dashboard or to the Office 365 portal, and you see, okay, what are my issues? Again, green means things are going well.
Great.
All right, so what's next? All right.
Is this me?
I think this is you.
All right.
Right.
So let's talk about some other ways to get access to this information. If I'm away from my computer, if I'm out on the road, if, you know, wherever I might be, there's an app for mobile devices to get this same information. So administrators can use the admin app to check the overall health of the services, health of individual services, maintenance announcements, and incident details. So this is all available through an app that's available for iPhones, Windows phones,
tablets.
Android tablets.
Right.
Yeah,
tablets. Right, so if you can't get it through a browser, which is good on most PCs and tablets,
exactly.
You can have just to show an app. And again, this will pull information from your Office 365 environment and say, hey, what's the story? So you can pull that data or consume it when you're not even in the office, right?
So you get that call from the customer that I can't get access Outlook Web Access. You can quickly and easily check the status of the services on your phone or mobile device. So that's really great. So let's take a look at that.
All right.
All right.
Do you want to try and connect?
I can try. We're going to attempt to connect Windows mobile device and see if we can display that. So give us just a second here. This is a newer Windows phone that has project my screen capabilities. So let's see if we can, it says it's connecting.
Trying.
Let's see what we can get. We are not having a whole bunch of luck.
Failed to connect. So
failed
let's see
to
if
connect.
We can
All
show
right.
the admin app on this iPad then. Again, different but similar.
So I can certainly if you can zoom in, we can show what the admin app looks like maybe on the phone. So it tells me Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, the same information I was able to get from the web portal.
Right.
I'm able to see right away on my Windows phone. So, and I can drill in on those, and I can see the current status, Outlook Web Access, and they're investigating the situation. So the exact same information available in a different way.
Right, and so if you switch over to this machine, I can show the admin app on an iPad. And again, same type of information we just saw.
Yep.
And I can get more information and click about specific details. But that's part of our goal is to make services available from any device you want. And so this admin app, if I'm at the coffee shop, I don't feel like going into work yet, and I just got my iPad, writing my novel, I can then, if I get a phone call from a customer or an end user that says there's a problem, I can, stop creating my novel, open up the admin app and verify, hey, what's going on, and be able to readily communicate what's going on with that environment.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, so that is the iPad. So let's see, what is next?
Next, we are...
the manager pack.
Yeah, so I'll talk about this a little bit. So this is the Office 365 management pack for System Center. So what this does, Microsoft has opened up some connections into Office 365 so that different applications can connect. So what you see in this screenshot here is a screenshot of the System Center console, the Operations Manager console, and you can see on the let's see if we can zoom in a little bit here. There we go. So on the left-hand side of the screen, we can drill in on Office 365 right here.
I did
the same thing you did. Here we go, right there. So there's some Office 365 plugins for System Center.
Looks like.
And basically what we can see is this one's connected to an Office 365 small business premium account. And then all the service statuses on the right-hand side. If there's any incidences, and of course, information from the message center is all displayed in the System Center, which is really nice.
There's two things I like about this that is that if you have an existing monitoring, System Center Operations Manager as your monitoring solution, you can leverage your existing monitoring team or processes to get now more information about Office 365. The other thing I like about it is, unlike the admin app, the admin app and the portal
are both reactive.
Exactly. Yep. You pull the information. You go there to consume it. But if something happens and there's a service failure, I have to go to the dashboard or the admin app to find out what's going on. With Operations Manager and the Management Pack, I can now, the Operations Manager can now get a notification or get an alert that, hey, there's a service degradation, a service problem. And as an Operations Manager administrator, I can now take action based on that. I can send an email notification to the team that is responsible for managing, Exchange Online, for instance.
Right.
So I can now take proactive measures or, instead of going to Ops Manager to find out what went wrong, I can get notified immediately. I can have my phone, just pretend this is a phone.
Sure.
This phone, hold on. They went away. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, I can get a notification, this pretend phone, that something's going on. So I can get notified about it immediately rather than hearing from my end users that, hey, there's a problem, what's going on, and then find more information.
Yep.
So it's a great way to get the data pushed to me rather than me having to consume it.
Great.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really a nice tool. Really nice tool. Okay.
All right, so the Service Communications API, this is an even more detailed level. And this is basically what Operations Manager leverages.
Right.
So I think in the summer of 2014, we released the Service Communications API, which means, much like System Center, you can now build an application that consumes service health data, Office 365 health information, and then take whatever action you want. And so basically, if you don't want to use Operations Manager or you don't have Operations Manager, you could build your own tool that if anything goes wrong with Link Online, you notify or you take the specific action that you want just for Link Online or Exchange. You can do whatever you want. So you can build your own. Basically, Service Communications API versus Ops Manager is the build versus buy approach.
Right?
Which one's better? It depends.
Depends on what you need.
Yep. So before we go on, I want to show you an example of the Service Communications API. And let's see. So I'm going to go back to my iPad. We had a brand new admin dashboard.
Yes.
So someone created this. I just found out about this week from my friend Chris.
There you go.
And basically, this is a new admin portal or admin app. So I'm going to put in my super secret.
This is coming soon. So
yes.
Yes, it is. It is coming soon.
Well, this is in the App Store now.
Sort of. It's not.
I got it from the public App Store, but you're right. It's still under development.
It's under development. So just keep that in mind as you see what you see. What we show you here, just keep in mind that this is under development. So
right. So this is an example of an app that consumes the API just like the traditional admin app does. And I can see I get information about Exchange Online, simple stuff like that. However, this app takes it a step farther and uses actually Office 365 APIs to get more information. So I can now take a look at my end users, and I can reset this person's password, for instance. So this is a great example of an app being able to consume not only the Service Communications APIs, but the Office 365 APIs to do more admin tasks.
Yeah, this is perfect. Now something, go back to the three bars at the top, right there.
Yes.
So something that's missing here, and I don't know if you noticed it when Curtis first signed in, but it said Office 365 partner in the middle of the screen. So if
let me show that.
If Curtis
there we are.
Was, yep, right there. So if Curtis was had, when he logs into this, if he had delegated admin privileges to other partners or other customers' tenants, then he could actually there'll be an icon up there, and he'll be able to change customer domains.
Right. So I don't want to put in your customers, because that'll show some
production stuff.
Right,
right, exactly.
Yeah, trust
exactly.
me, it works.
it's actually really great. So you get that, you're on the road, you get that call from the customer, so-and-so, you know, forgot their password or locked themselves out. You can reset passwords straight from this app. This app will be available initially for Windows and Windows Phone and iOS devices.
Sure.
And coming soon to Android. And there's a web, actually a web interface as well, so you can get to it from any device. So,
cool. Yeah.
This was in our introduction. This was shown to us this week at the Partner Advisor Council out here at Redmond. So great new product coming from Microsoft to help admins do their job. So
pretty sweet.
Yep.
All right, what do we got next? Licensing. So licensing is, what's the nice way of saying it? It's the easy answer to solve problems.
Yep.
I can't get to Exchange Online. Are you licensed for Exchange Online? Oh, good question. in general, it's easy to say in order to use an Office 365 service, you need to be licensed for that.
Right.
Sometimes it's not that easy to provide that answer if you're supporting hundreds, thousands of users, right? Because it's easy to explain something, mm-hmm. but if you have to do that several times, that really doesn't scale well.
Right.
So what we want to show is some common licensing things that are issues that you may run into and easily how to solve them. So if you're in the client and you're trying to launch Office 365 Pro Plus for the first time, you may get an error when you try and sign in. And that's actually something new
right.
with Office 365 Pro Plus is the concept of signing in to Office.
Right.
And the reason you need to do that is because now it's user-based licensing. So me as a person, I get licensed to use Office 365 Pro Plus, and I can use it in a sense on any device I want. And so that allows me to go to different devices. And if I sign in, I can now use Office on all those different devices. It kind of makes sense because my computer, this computer doesn't need Office. Right?
Exactly.
I have to use Office wherever I go. And that's new from an end user perspective is having to sign into Office at all. The good news is it's only once per device, but it is something new. So what we've seen when we're rolling it out to customers is that we actually have sometimes proactive communications. Hey, Office 365 Pro Plus is coming. Here's what you should expect. But if you're not licensed appropriately, you may get some errors when you try and sign in.
Right.
So what we're going to show you is how we can check how many, what licenses you have. And especially for Pro Plus, you're allowed to install Office on up to five PCs or Macs,
yep.
plus five tablets, plus five mobile devices.
Right.
And we can see, well, am I up to those five PCs or Macs, or how close am I?
Right.
And we'll show you what happens if you exceed that. And I get a common question from some IT organizations is we go in there and say, hey, this is great. You get one license, five plus five plus five. Five, they're like, really, five PCs or Macs?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's great. Like, what happens if I install it on a sixth? Mr. Smart Guy.
Yeah.
They usually don't say that, but that's the undertone I kind of hear.
Right, right.
And so we can easily say, don't worry, that's never going to happen. And they say, well, great. Well, what if it does? So we'll show you that exactly what you can do to overcome that and just how easy it is for an end user to work with that constraint. So what's next? All right, so yeah, if you log in to a computer, if you install and activate Office 365 Pro Plus on more than five computers, on five computers, then you do it on the sixth, as soon as you sign in, you're gonna say, hey, this is not an error message, this is a fact.
Right.
You have already installed Office on five computers, and the good news is there's a hyperlink that's selected for you. You click there, it'll allow you to deactivate and install immediately. So then you can pick, which five devices do I need?
Right. And a situation where this comes in sometimes is maybe a roaming user or a plant manager that might sign in multiple computers. Depending on their shift and depending on where they're working, they could end up with, getting this error.
So, even in the IT org, if you have some type of lab where you're constantly rebuilding computers and constantly reinstalling Office to verify things, you may run into this constraint.
Right.
To solve that problem, we have a new, as of September of 2014, something called shared computer licensing, not something you want to roll out to everyone. And that will allow you in the shared computer scenario to not, to work around this. And it's great now for like pooled VDI or call center environments where you have
remote desktop servers.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yep. Yeah, because it allows you to, when you log out, it releases the license. When you log back in, it's
pretty cool.
Signs you back in. So,
the other thing that you may run into, and I've seen this, I want to say, on about 25% of the customers I work with, which is why I wanted to talk about it, because it manifests itself as, I just can't sign in.
Right.
Right. So what happens is if you try and sign into Office, but your firewall or proxy servers don't explicitly allow access to the URLs you need to activate, you're going to get this exact message. There's a problem with your account. In this case, the problem is I can't connect to it.
Right.
The reason this happens is because activation occurs under the system account, not the end user. So what has to happen is the computer account, the system account on that computer, has to be able to get outbound access to the activation endpoints, the URLs.
Right.
In some environments, and again, I've seen this about 25% of the time, I haven't detected a pattern or rhyme or reason. About 25% of the time, you have to explicitly whitelist those URLs, and we'll show them, allow anonymous outbound access. For instance, I was working with a bank. I think it's about 250,000 users. It's huge.
Right.
They didn't have this problem. Then I worked with another investment bank, 60,000 users. They had the symptom. And so what they had to do is explicitly whitelist a short list of URLs in order to allow anonymous outbound access. Because
right.
not the user account that's trying to do the activation at this point, it is the system account.
Yep.
But it's not an industry specific. I've worked with some pharmaceutical companies. One, no problem. One, we have to whitelist.
Right. I've worked with a couple automotive dealerships.
Okay.
Actually, their technicians in the back are only allowed to certain sites. So even though they only have a few whitelisted domains that they're allowed to browse the internet to, and if you don't add these addresses in,
right.
then they won't be able to.
So what I'm going to do, if you can switch back to my machine, there is a article on TechNet that says, here's the Office 365 URLs and IP addresses that are required. And I must have went there on another computer. Well, let's go to a different computer where I can make sure I have that. Where am I? Here I go. So what I want to do, I'm going to look for Office 365 URLs and IP address ranges. Finds them for me.
Yeah.
All right. So on TechNet, you're going to find a list of, this is actually reformatted recently, for URLs and IP addresses that are required for specific Office 365 services. So for Office 365 Pro Plus, this is the 1 to 10, I think, URLs. Wait, that's 10, 5. 11 URLs required in order to activate in order for Office 365 Pro Plus to work. Now, what's not listed here is that you need anonymous access to get to these URLs. So you can't just allow authenticated users, like people who log into your domain.
Mm-hmm.
You have to enable anonymous access, only outbound. The good news is that four of these 11 URLs are CRLs, or certificate revocation lists, which means not providing access to them actually makes you less secure, because
right.
now you don't know, well, which certificates have been revoked and are no longer valid. So if you have to work with your networking or security teams and they're concerned that list is too big, you can say, well, listen, four of them are CRLs. So it is more secure to allow the system account outbound access to get there.
Yep.
All right, so let's see that. I think we're about to do some demos. So let's see what that looks like, right?
Yep.
Is there a demo next?
Oh, it is.
Okay, cool. So we'll take a look at what happens when I do licensing, when I have some licensing issues. So I'll do two demos in a row. So I have a machine here that has Office 365 Pro Plus installed, but I have not yet activated it.
Okay.
So I am going to launch Excel. I said,
hopefully.
I'm going to launch Excel. All right.
Here it comes.
I swear. All right. So the first thing that's going to happen, it's going to prompt me to sign in. No problem. I'm going to actually provide my email address.
Circle,
my super secret password. And let's see, maybe I tip in the wrong, hold on, let me do that again. I gotta stop talking.
There we go.
Oh, okay, maybe it was a bad password. All right, so this is what happens. I've already installed it on 5 computers, so the good news is it tells me exactly what I need to do.
Yep.
If I click this URL, it's gonna bring me into the Office 365 portal, and again, I'm a user. I'm not an administrator, and this is a brand new computer, so I've got to do that. Now, because this is a Azure VM that's not connected to a domain, and this is a brand new computer, I actually have to sign in again. If you are doing this in an environment, and your environment is federated with Office 365,
you wouldn't have to do this.
You won't ever see this. It'll bring you right there. All right, so here's what I've got. So it brings you right to this page, and what do you know? It says I've got 5 devices. I've installed and activated 5 different devices. So the message said, hey, you have to deactivate one.
Yeah.
Now I can go through all my computers and determine, well, which one do I really need? And, oh, look, this Windows Server, I was using it for testing. So I click the deactivate button. And one thing I want to show you before I do that is remaining installs available, 0. So I authenticated when I signed in, and it said, whoops, you don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
So now I'm going to click deactivate. Well, it looks like we've got some work to do on that message box.
Yep.
And now there you go. We have remaining installs 1. And it says the install was deactivated. So now I have the ability to install it on 1 more computer.
Right.
Kind of cool. So now what happened is I would go back here and hit try again. And it would just activate for me. However, I don't want to do this just yet because I'm going to show you a different error.
Right.
So that is how, from an end user perspective, if I install on a computer that, install Office on a computer and try and activate it on the 6th device, this is what the end user will have to do. The administrator can't manage licenses or activations for the end user. So, it's pretty easy to do. Oh, look, I've got it on 5. Let me go and deactivate one. It's a very simple process. That's the great news.
Right.
So, I hit cancel because I'm going to try again. Now, the other thing, I'm now going to provide a credentials, different set of credentials. Circle. And maybe I should have closed out before, so I don't get that install limit reach. But the good news is, this is what I was looking for. This error says, hey, you can't sign into Office. So it found that this is a valid Office 365 account, but it's not associated with Office 365 Pro Plus. So this is saying, hey, you, in a sense, hey, you can't use Office because you're not licensed for it. So I'm going to hit OK here. And gee, what's going on? I don't have this. So again, this is the first time I installed Office, so I have to, unless I've disabled this via group policy. Oh my goodness. And oh, it tells me up here, it's not been activated, and I have 5 days to activate.
Yep.
And so that's what's gonna happen, 5 days of grace. So what I need to do now is...
So
I'm going to go, I'm going to go into the portal.
End user is going to make a phone call to support.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So the end user can't do anything about this if they're not licensed for it, unless that end user is also an administrator of Office 365.
Right.
So I'm going to go into the portal. I'm going to sign in with my admin account. Circle. Well, I'm telling everyone my password these days. That's bad.
All the circles.
All right. I'm going to go into admin. And so I'm logged on as an admin. I didn't log into the portal as the user I tried to activate Office with. So I'm going to go into users, active users, and find out the username that I just used. And it was minecurtis@son.org. So I will just open myself up. Excuse me, my user object up.
Your user object.
Go to licenses. And now I'm going to expand Office 365 Plan E3 to see what's going on. And lo and behold, I do not have the Office 365 Pro Plus license assignment. Now, it's an easy fix, right?
Right.
Obviously, check the box, sign in again.
Yep.
But why this might occur is because if I, as a customer, purchase Office 365 E3, that doesn't require me to consume all the services immediately.
Right.
I can choose, you know what, I'm only ready to go to Exchange Online.
Yep.
I don't want to, Mail in the Cloud is what I'm ready for. I'm not ready for SharePoint Online. I'm not ready for Office, the new Office apps, just Exchange Online. Now, still with that one license, I can split it up, I can say I only want to offer Exchange. At a later point, I'm going to add SharePoint and then Office Online. So that's why you may run into the situation is you can say, well, I'm licensed for E3, which is the SKU that contains all those different entitlements, but I want to make sure I'm licensed for Pro Plus to make sure I can use Pro Plus.
For sure.
So I'm going to minimize this and try again. Actually, we should probably delay and talk for about another 10, 15 seconds just to make sure that...
Make sure it opens.
Actually
much faster this time.
Yeah, what's going on? All right, So what was the ID? Oh, yeah, curtis@son.org. And circle, 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 and circle.
And it may take a minute.
Okay,
there it goes.
Great. So now it says...
Yep. You're licensed.
Now it says... this computer's been added to my account.
Yep.
So if I go into the portal as this person... in fact, I could go to manage account, and I could actually see the same view where I see this single computer listed here. Here it is. And it hasn't even shown up yet. You know why? It's because I'm still logged on as the other person.
Admin.
That's the risk with doing demos, trying to use multiple accounts. So I'm signed in as an administrator, and that won't allow me to see this.
But you did see from signing in as administrator that you cannot see, you can't, as administrator, deactivate somebody else's machine.
Right.
So, yep.
So, circle, 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 circle. And did you know, Chris, you can customize your ADFS sign-in page?
Yep.
Anyway, all right. So, I'm going to go to Office 365 settings. Again, if I were not logged in with multiple accounts, I would be brought right here under software. And I could see that, MVA Demo 1 installation date. This is today's date.
Has been... Right. Signed a license. Yep.
Great. So I've now activated it successfully.
Great.
Pretty cool. All right. Let us move back to the presentation. And what's next?
DNS troubleshooting.
Yes. Okay. So we've talked about service health. We talked about client-related issues. And now, DNS, which is very important to make sure that, you can get to your stuff.
Right. Exactly. So I'll take it away from here. So DNS troubleshooting, this is probably one of the most critical parts of Office 365 and where customers have the most problems. Incorrect DNS settings cause the most issues of any calls into a help desk. There are... minimum 10 DNS records are required for proper Office 365 configuration in order to take advantage of all the services.
Of all the services.
All the services.
Okay.
Yep. When they're incorrectly configured, they can cause things like you can't verify a domain name, Outlook connectivity issues, mail flow can be an issue, link sign-in can be an issue, and of course, auto-discover. So
you can't get to your stuff,
right? If those settings aren't perfectly correct, exactly entered into your DNS registrar, your domain registrar, then it can cause all kinds of problems. So that's kind of one of the reasons we wanted to really hit on this today. And let you guys, demonstrate to to our viewers exactly what it takes to have a successful DNS installation.
Cool.
So Office 365 supports most domain name registrars. To verify a domain name, you have to create a text or MX record in order to get that. Microsoft wants to make sure you own that domain name. They aren't just going to allow you to type any domain in, any .com domain, and all of a sudden receive email for that. They need to make sure that you own that first.
I've been asked by a couple customers who have been nervous, said, adding a text record to my public DNS, I don't want to change DNS. That sounds nervous. Yeah. What's the impact? What's the risk of adding, and then potential impact of adding a text, changing my public DNS record by adding a text record?
Yeah, the text record add is, there's no impact at all to your DNS records. It's a text statement. Nothing is going to access that, except Microsoft is looking, when they go to verify that domain name, that you own access to it, that you were able to add that text record into your records. That you own that domain name. So, you know, the text record is a serialized number that's good for just your domain. And if they can't see that, then they won't let you add that domain into Office 365.
Because only you can adjust,
only
add a text record to a domain that you own.
Own, exactly.
So, okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So what happens sometimes is, a web developer or even an ISP will take control of those DNS records. So sometimes you have to work closely with them in order to get that text record made. And that's where we can run into issues with, the web developer, the ISP doesn't want to make those changes.
Right. So conceptually, adding a text record, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Organizationally,
right,
that's where you got to find who's
issue.
The right person
right.
to add this impact-free text record to your DNS.
Yeah, exactly. So, and some registrars can be automatically configured through Office 365, which is really nice. If you have your login credentials to that register, you can automatically configure that. So, our Office 365 can automatically add all the records that are needed for correct operation of the services. Required DNS settings are accessed through the domains page of Office 365 tenant. All right. What do you use DNS for? Why is it needed? Well, manage the domains. Okay. Microsoft has gone out of their way really to make as much information as possible available, because honestly they want to cut down on the number of calls into the help center for these types of problems. So they've really they've kind of made it pretty simple and easy to understand. So if you're not a DNS expert, you haven't studied the O'Reilly book DNS and Bind from front to back. if you haven't been doing DNS for 20 years, that kind of stuff. They've made it really easy to understand.
Yeah.
So
from an end user perspective,
yep.
A great reason to add a domain into Office 365 is to simplify.
You're right.
If the previous demos I did, I logged in with two different accounts. One was admin.son3.onmicrosoft.com. Another one was curtis@son.org.
Right.
They both log in. They're both a member of the same Office 365 environment, but I've added the son.org domain, so I have to type a lot less. It's a lot easier to type in son.org than son3.onmicrosoft.com.
Right. And as soon as you create your tenant, if you want to receive email at that onmicrosoft.com domain, you can
sure.
You can send and receive email all day long at that domain. But your business card may say a much shorter domain, one that's
right.
customized to your company, and you want to get your email there. So that's why this is so important. So if you're registered with some domain registrars, GoDaddy, for example, manual steps and even screenshots are included in the domain pages. So, like I said, Microsoft's really gone out of their way to make sure that this is as easy as possible.
We want to get people up to speed and using Office 365 as quick as possible so that you can see, here's all the value you can get from it. And so we want to make things, the onboarding process smooth and easy.
Yep. All right. So DNS performance can also affect your Office 365 traffic. So here's a quick little query that you can do. You can start netmon, ipconfig flush DNS. You want to make sure that you flushed all your settings out or all your cache out. Below, and you can see here below is an example of a slow response. Normal response time should be in milliseconds. So We want to make sure that you're not having, maybe you're using a DNS server that's having some slow issues, and that can cause performance issues within Office 365, whether it's a link or the flow of email. Maybe it's taking 20 minutes to receive an email instead of seconds. It could all be related to DNS type issues. Okay. All right, so let's just go into a demo. So let's jump right in. So I'm going to go to office.com. I'm going to sign in. And I'm going to sign in with admin at east demo16.onmicrosoft. If I can type, it'll be good. I left out an O. See that? There we go. All right. Circle, 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 circle.
I have the same password.
All right. So we're going to go to the admin. A couple different ways you can get there. Curtis has showed you that using the app down at the bottom. I've old school. I like the admin up at the top. So we're going to administrate Office 365. Right. We're going to go to domains. And you can see that the only domain that I have in my tenant right now is eastdemo16.onmicrosoft.com. Okay, so we want to add a domain. And so first step, you can see that there's help all over the screen. This takes you to specify domain name and confirm ownership, steps on how to do that. On the right-hand side of the screen, learn how to add and verify your own domain. Learn how to view the DNS records you need for your domain. And of course, get help with, this is new in the last few months, so you have pop-out help on the right-hand side. So Microsoft has gone out of their way to make this as easy as possible for administrators. All right, so we're gonna start step one. All right, and it wants to know what the domain name is. Well, just so happens that eastdemo16.com is registered. So that goes, and typically when you create a tenant, that first portion that you put in there, you want that to reference your company somehow. In this case, we're using East Demo. My company's personal tenant is eastridge.onmicrosoft.com, but we have our eastridge.net domain name has been added in for us to receive email at. So you kind of want to make those match. And where it really matters is later on for things like SharePoint. You don't want to have some great big long name here. You want to keep it as short as possible. There are places that you do use that on Microsoft.com quite frequently. And you want to keep that as short as you possibly can.
Exactly. I mean, just a lot of typing. If it's easy to correct, you put in the wrong email address. You did it. I did it right here.
Yep.
And, just retype it.
Right.
Now, think if you're on the help desk and you support an environment of hundreds or thousands of users. Long usernames lead to more support calls. And if you're managing thousands of users, that's a significant cost.
Absolutely.
And so that's where, adding domains and making sure you can use short domain names actually can be quantified as here's how much money you're saving your business.
Right. All right, so I've typed in eastdemo16.com. I'm going to hit next. And it should go out and check where this domain is registered. And apparently it's at GoDaddy. So before you set up your domain, we want to make sure that you own the domain. This is what we were talking about with that text record. Okay, so we can do, after you click confirm ownership, you will be prompted to sign in at GoDaddy. So we're going to do that. There's also methods to do manual steps. So if you're not hosted with GoDaddy, there's manual steps that give you the information that you need to put into your domain registrar. And we have found there are still some old domain registrars that people have registered domains at that they don't allow the text records. So sometimes this can be your customer maybe, we gotta get on Office 365, we gotta do it fast. It can take time. We might have to move that domain from that outdated old registrar into you know, a more modern registrar to in order to do those text records. So we have run into that where they just don't have those fields. They do not have the text record fields.
Wow.
So just something to consider. So we're going to go with the automatic configuration here. So it's going to take me to GoDaddy, and you see it's Office 365 GoDaddy Management. I created this yesterday, so let's see.
I think it starts with circle.
Circle, 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 circle. Okay.
Oh, you got the right circle.
I got it right. Accept to allow Office 365 to make these changes to East Demo. So this is really nice. GoDaddy and Microsoft are working together to make this as easy as possible. So I hit accept.
So basically, adding the text record has been entirely abstracted away.
Yeah.
So you had to do it, but you didn't really do it.
I had to do it, but I really didn't do it. And so, we'll go back and look at what that was supposed
that's a
good
to idea. Be. Yep. Right.
So great. We confirmed that you own eastdemo16.com. Finish. All right. So step two, as I add my domain, is add users assigned licenses and set the domain purpose and configure DNS. So we can start step two. I should already have. I don't want to add users right now because I already have users in this demo tenant. I hit next. And set the domain purpose. So this is an important step as well. We want to use Exchange Online and Link Online. So it's going to give me, if I didn't want to use Link Online at all, then it's not going to give me the DNS settings for Link Online. Okay. But we want to use them for both. And you know, if we had on-premise mailboxes, there's some advanced setup, those kind of things. We're going to keep it simple. We're going to hit next. And it's going to go through. There it goes.
Yes.
All right. So add these records to East Demo 16 at your DNS hosting provider. So we're going to go ahead and set up the records. And it's doing it at GoDaddy. You're done. These have all been entered at GoDaddy automatically. Okay.
So now you can use eastdemo16.com to get email.
To get email.
And for a link.
To link, log in.
That's great.
Yep, absolutely.
And
so
that was an extra four or five clicks.
Four or five clicks.
That's pretty cool.
All of this information was automatically entered into GoDaddy's DNS records.
That's so great.
You know, the first we can go down through these records. The first one that's required to send receive email is the NMEX record. We have priority zero at for the host name. It's got a time to live with 3600. So and here's where it points to. This is the long version of the server where our email is hosted for this tenant. All right. We also have, here's our CNAMEs, Auto Discover. I mentioned that in the slide deck.
Yep.
SIP, which is for Link, Link Discover, MSOID, which is part of the client config. And then we have some text records. So this is this helps with spam and SPF1 records. So this points protection, so Exchange Online protection. And then we have some service records. These are also for Link. And these were removed. So it will tell you if you had more records in there, maybe you've had this domain, maybe it was at another, you were getting email in another way, another hoster. It's going to remove those records and make sure that you know, everything is running through Office 365. Now, let me throw a warning out there, okay? If you run through this and you're not ready to migrate your users to Office 365, email is now going to Office 365 and it is no longer going to GoDaddy at this point.
So configured DNS, especially with that the mail record, to use Office 365, all your mail is going to go there.
Right.
Okay.
So
you wouldn't want to set that up until you're ready.
You've made, you know, you may want to go through a migration plan first to get email from the old location into Office 365. You may want to, you know, schedule setting up of the Outlook client for all your users. Yeah. All those things that need to be done before you do hit the finish.
So
there was a point during the steps here that I could have paused. All right, I've registered the domain. I got it right after I verified the domain name. I could have paused at that point taken care of all those other steps, and then gone through and made these DNS record changes. Okay, so just kind of a don't just run right through the wizard, and then your customer's without email. So you want to, yeah. Their email's not being lost. It's just in Office 365. It's not where they're currently at. So just something, kind of a warning to throw out there.
Okay.
So when I hit finish here, it should take me back. It's going to show me my domains, and it has automatically set my default domain to EastDemo16. Okay. So there's some shortcuts here on the right hand side, the little gear. I can go manage those DNS records. All right, I can find and fix issues. So if there's a problem with DNS, maybe mail's not flowing correctly, maybe I move the MX records, or the MX records mail's not flowing where it's supposed to be flowing, and of course I can remove the domain. So I have lots of options here to move on with DNS. All right. If I hit manage DNS, it's going to take me back. It's going to show me all those again. And just for you need help adding these records, here's step by step.
Right. But that's basically, here's what was done for you on your behalf. So that's great.
So I can go back. Look, these are all videos.
That's great.
All right. For different registrars. All right. Some have videos, some just have help sites. So these are all the different registrars that Office 365 and Microsoft support. Others are supported. They just might not have help and videos to make those happen.
Okay.
So a lot of information here. And if you have problems, I can change my domain purpose. If I click on that, I can change what's going, where maybe I don't want Link Online anymore, something like that. Okay. Great. So back to PowerPoint.
So what's next? Oh, well, we're towards the end.
Yes.
All right. So in my opinion, what we've done today, Chris, is talk about the Office 365 service from a high level.
Yes.
So we talked about service availability, about some licensing issues, and about some...
How to access it. How to see those issues.
Exactly. Yep. So
some new tools coming.
Yeah. So if you... Here are some references that give you more detail if you want to know more about any of the stuff we talked about. Also, although we have an Office, this is Office 365 troubleshooting, there is a separate Microsoft Virtual Academy video series that is all about performance management and troubleshooting.
Yep.
There is, and you can download this, aka.ms, Tune MBA, 11 different modules on planning, performance, and troubleshooting. So what we haven't talked about is specific troubleshooting about SharePoint Online.
Right.
Or deep into Link Online troubleshooting. Well, that's what this MVA does.
Right.
It provides that deep level of information about, okay, now I need to tune and troubleshoot specific Office 365 services.
Perfect.
Cool.
Yeah, great information.
So, that is all for today.
For module one,
right? So thanks again for joining us. The next module we're going to be doing is about tools and tips. We talked more about troubleshooting broadly.
As a whole.
And now we say, well, here's actions you can take based on the information that we talked about. So
great.
Thank you for joining us, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you.